worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God to begin with. Look in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. These are the commands, decrees, and regulations that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you. You must obey them in the land you are about to enter and occupy. And you and your children and grandchildren must fear the Lord your God as long as you live. If you obey all his decrees and commands, you will enjoy a long life. Listen closely, Israel, and be careful to obey. Then all will go well with you, and you will have many children in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you are on the road, when you're going to bed and when you're getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Verses 1 through 9, Deuteronomy chapter 6. And then in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, picking up at verse 10. A final word. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against the mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor, so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. And pray for me too. Ask God to give me the right words so I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan that the good news is for Jews and Gentiles alike. I'm in chains now, still preaching this message as God's ambassador. So pray that I will keep on speaking boldly for him as I should. Verses 10 through 20, Ephesians chapter 6. Thank you, Father, once again, for the wonderful gift of eternal life. Thank you for the privilege of being a part of your family, the people of God, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for your hand of grace upon each and every one of us. Thank you, Father, for us as the church, and thank you for us as a nation. And thank you for us as individual believers and as families as well, all a part of your family, Lord. Thank you for us again, individually and collectively, Lord. Help us, Lord, as the church and as a nation to put you first. Help us to make no graven images. Help us, Lord, to not take your name in vain. Help us, Lord, to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. Help us, Lord, to honor our fathers and our mothers. Help us to not murder. Help us to not commit adultery. Help us to tell the truth, and help us to not covet. In Jesus' name we do pray, and help us to not steal. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Isaac Jackson. Isaac is going to lead us in a word of prayer at this time.
Hey, Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, I just want to come in agreement with Pastor Joseph. We ask that you'd heal families, that you'd pull us together, that you'd pull us in towards you, that you'd grow the church in unity as you pull mothers and fathers back together, as you pull sons to their fathers and daughters to their mothers, Father. Thank you so much for being the perfect example of what true relationships should look like. And thank you so much for being our source of strength for walking in that. In your holy name, we ask for more of you and more relationship with you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. We're privileged to have with us in studio once again Jade Holifield, who works here at AFA, and she wears, I don't know how many hats, but a bunch of hats.
It's a lot.
But amongst other things, she's one of our resident evangelists. Praise the Lord. Always good to have you, Jade.
Thank you, Pastor Parker. I'm glad to be here.
All right. I'm going to ask if you'll take a moment to pray for the broadcast and pray for our listeners insofar as for them to receive all God wants them to receive through the broadcast today.
Absolutely. Father God, we just thank you so much for this day that you've created us to be a part of. I thank you for Pastor Parker, the Hour of Intercession, Isaac, myself, and our special guest for today. And every listener that's listening, Lord, it is not by accident that they came upon this program. Father, it is by your divine will because you have something for them to hear. Father, may it just penetrate their hearts, today's topic. May it penetrate their hearts and give them such a fervent desire, Lord, to fight for their families, their children, and even their grandchildren. Father, may it even open their eyes in areas that they have been blinded in and haven't even thought about praying about concerning their family and grandbabies. Father, may we make much of your name and your word, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jade. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. You know, if you listen regularly, you know that we pretty regularly encourage you. If you don't already have this habit, we encourage you to start the habit of reading at least 3 chapters in your Bible every single day. Remember this, God's Word tells us your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The Word of God is Jesus, and Jesus is the Word of God. So when you're reading God's Word, Jesus is touching your life. He's speaking to you. He's ministering to you. He's pouring grace, peace, and power into your life. One of the most fruitful habits in all of life is that of opening the Word of God every day and spending time one-on-one with your Heavenly Father. So if you haven't started the habit of reading at least 3 chapters in your Bible every day, today is a wonderful day, a really good day to start that very vitally important habit. And parents, we're encouraging you to start the habit of having your children read out loud to you as well. Before we introduce our guests as well as our topic we're going to be looking at today, I'm going to take a moment now, as we often do, share an article that we wrote on that was on the AFA stand that helps us to introduce a part of our topic along with the guest in a few moments as well. But the title of this article, and again, if you want to email us to get a copy, please do. My email, joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. The title of the article is The Child Warrior. Again, Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting at verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And then once again, Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 20. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert, with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Again, verses 10 to 20, Ephesians chapter 6. Spiritual warfare is a reality of life. Life is not a playground. Life is not a beach. Life is a battlefield. So it's critical also that we understand that life is not a game. It's not a game in which those who oppose you think themselves to be bound by a certain set of rules. The devil is our enemy, plain and simple. He hates all people, especially people of faith. This is the truth for every man and woman on earth. But know that this is not the reason for any believer to despair. Be mindful that Christ told us, but take heart. I have overcome the world, John 16:33. A reality that we must be aware of is that spiritual warfare is a reality for children as well as youth as much as it is a reality for adults. This reality doesn't change for children and youth just because they're young. The devil isn't trying to give children a break. He doesn't care about children. He hates children as much as he hates adult human beings. A picture of how the devil feels about children can be seen in the reality of abortion. Abortion is a clear demonstration of how the devil feels about children. He hates them and wants to destroy them. Well, in view of these truths, we as followers of Christ would be wise to do our part to very effectively equip our children for the battlefield of life. We'd be wise to seek to equip them as young warriors that every day have to step out on the same battlefield adults have to step onto. How tragic it is to see how in the news we see children as simply tragic casualties in the spiritual warfare of life. Teens murdering other teens, youth and children committing suicide, very young children hooked on drugs and selling them, children bullying other children, and the list could go on and on. Why warriors? Well, we are wise to seek to help them to become Christian warriors, that is, spiritual warriors, because this helps them to be in the most advantageous position they can be in life. And that position is in knowing Jesus Christ as his or her personal Savior and living a life boldly following him. That's a Christian warrior. So now allow me to define a Christian warrior. The following are some traits of a strong Christian warrior. Number one, he or she is a person who has accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as his or her personal Lord and Savior. Next, this person is growing spiritually as he or she becomes a diligent student of the Word of God, probably reading and meditating on at least 3 chapters in the Word of God every day. Next, this believer is a person of prayer, one who makes time to spend significant time and effort in prayer every day. Then next, this follower of Christ is seeking to live out the Word of God in his or her daily life and lifestyle. Then this believer is faithfully seeking to be a witness for Christ, learning to faithfully share the gospel of Jesus Christ wherever he or she may go. And then this believer is also faithfully involved in making disciples, encouraging believers to grow strong in their walk with Christ. Well, one might ask, are these characteristics of a warrior that should be taught to children and youth as well as adults? Absolutely yes. Why is that true? Again, because they too have to step out on the same battlefield that adults have to walk on to every day. It's critical that we as parents and adults not send our children onto the battlefields of life with sticks and stones. At the same time, we see the enemy with spiritual guns, missiles, grenades, etc. Parents, know this. The Word of God is an atomic bomb. How critical it is that we equip our children with it as their main weapon in all of life. Ephesians 6 paints a powerful picture of how the kingdom warrior ought to be equipped. How important it is that we help equip our children with the ongoing work of filling their hearts and minds with the powerful Word of God. Parents, we wisely help our children to become warriors as we have them to read the Word of God out loud to us every day. And we fruitfully prepare them for the battlefield as we teach and train them themselves to memorize the Word of God, speak and pray it each and every day. Let's help our children to become the warriors God would have them to be. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back.
Where the spirit of the Lord your name that tears down walls. And every enemy.
The music of Life Church Worship with Where the Spirit of the Lord Is. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. We're grateful to have as our phone guest today, John Colombe. He's with the Ministry Legacy Coalition, and we've had the privilege of having other individuals that are part of that ministry in the past. And John Colombe is the Director of Spiritual Development with Legacy Coalition. John, how are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Great to have you with us today. And if you'll take time, John, to further introduce yourself and then tell our listeners about the work and the mission behind Legacy Coalition.
Sure. Well, let's just get it out. I'm 78 years of age, and we've been doing ministry for almost 55 years. I grew up in a pastor's home. I was a PK up in Oregon. I went to a two-year Christian college in Portland, Judson Baptist College, and then down to Biola College in Southern California, and then finished up at Talbot Seminary. I did youth work for 15 plus years. We were in Long Beach and then Santa Barbara. And while we were in Santa Barbara, I realized that if we were going to make an impact upon young people, that we need to work with moms and dads, that if fruit was falling off the tree, well, maybe we needed to go to the root of the problem and the root of the solution and strengthen mom and dad in their relationship with each other, in their marriages, and in their family with their children. And we would assist them rather than do the job for them. Mm-hmm. And so I put out to our church in Santa Barbara, I just said, I feel God calling me to family ministry. I'd love to do it here. But if we did it here, you'd have to hire a youth pastor so we could work together. And we did, stayed almost 8 more years, and then went to Evangelical Free Church in Fullerton, California, where we served pastoring senior adults, older adults, and later changed it into intergenerational ministry because I felt like the generations can minister to each other. We need each other for wisdom, but also for strength. We get bored with our own kind. So it was a very fulfilling ministry there, 31 years, and then retired. Mm-hmm. 2019, to some other ministries, some that we had continued to do. One of them that we're still doing is called Fishbowl Ministry, mm-hmm. Joseph, where we minister pastor leaders and pastors and their families just to bring encouragement and direction. Mm-hmm. And then I carry on men's retreats. We call them Desert Father Retreats. I just got back from Nashville doing our Music City Fathers Retreat 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And then 8 years ago, Larry Fowler, who apparently you've already had on, mm-hmm. I had this vision. He and I talked. We sat down as couples, and I said, yeah, I'm all in, because we've been trying to launch the ministry here at Fullerton. And we need to do it together. Mm-hmm. And so we gathered back at the Awana headquarters in Chicago with about, there must have been 17 of us, who were leaders of different Christian organizations, put our heads and hearts together, 48 hours together, looking at what God has to say in His Word about this role called grandparenting. And we don't see that word in Scripture as much. It's more children yet to be born, generations is huge. And so we missed it. And for centuries, the church didn't realize, I mean, we talk about parents and children or youth, but we wouldn't talk about grandparents. And we realized one of our guys, Josh Mulville Hill, wrote his dissertation at seminary on the biblical look at grandparenting. And that turned out he brought his notes to us. We sat around the table. We realized we can do nothing more than carry this out and see what God would do. And we have. That was 8 years ago. And we are virtually, God is using people around the world. We have ministries, people that we're working with in Spain, Greece, South Africa, South Korea, Australia, Canada. And the Lord is just bringing renewal to the church, through older adults who have regained purpose. Talking about purpose.
And the name of the ministry. Mission, the name of the ministry is Legacy Coalition, correct?
Yes. Sorry, right. I didn't bring that up. Legacy Coalition. You know, when you think about the word, you think of often, or people do, legacies for the rich. Mm-hmm. Well, no, that's the easiest kind of legacy, but the least valuable. Mm-hmm. Legacies for the famous. Just because we're not in history books doesn't mean that we don't have a legacy. Everyone leaves a legacy, whether it's good or bad. And lastly, we feel maybe that legacy is cast in stone, that maybe it's too late for us to reach out to our families, to our children, mm-hmm. to our children's children. And one of the things we want to bring is hope and redirection. But one of the keys, and I'll just preach a little bit here.
Come on. Mm-hmm.
One of the keys is is to pay attention to yourselves, God tells his people. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing, because they're not going to pick up on our life. In fact, one of the greatest motivations is not the pastor in the pulpit mm-hmm. to a grandkid, but for a grandchild to say, well, Papa, you want me to read the Bible? You want me to go to church? How's that working for you?
Well, John, I'm going to ask if before you go further, would you pray for our listeners? And then, because you've touched on a number of things already, as well as you'll be sharing more, but obviously you will be encouraging and challenging grandparents. But much of what you'll share will go beyond the bounds of grandparents to the work of understanding what discipleship is to be in the lives of believers as a whole. So would you pray for every listener to receive all God wants them to receive through the broadcast today?
Father, it sounds like this broadcast is going out in the middle of the night or the middle of the morning, the early morning, and people probably are restless and can't sleep. Or they're spending time with you, and this is part of their time with you. Father, would you take the words that are being spoken, your truths that have been spoken, and the things that your Spirit will speak to us personally. And Father, would you bring encouragement to those who are discouraged in their relationship with their children, many have walked away and have been caught up by the culture trying to be relevant, and in the process have lost relationship with you and maybe even relationship with their parents or their grandparents or their spouses or their children. Lord, you see those needs. You hear those prayers. We ask as they listen to this broadcast, as we talk to you, as we talk about the things that you've already said to us and spoken to us in your word, and the things that your Holy Spirit will communicate. We pray, Father, you would till the soil, plant seeds, even cause growth to spurt, and for water to bring growth to the little seeds of faith. And Father, often you use the hard things like manure to enrich the soil. So Father, may there be a harvest, and as a result of our taking time together with these people, we pray in the precious, matchless, powerful name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You were defining the word legacy, and if you can pick back up where you left off there.
Yes. Well, we're to pass on that biblical legacy mm-hmm. that will endure. Something that will stand the test of time, and in this day and age, I mean, not much withstands the test of time, including our watches. I mean, you don't take them to get repaired anymore. You discard them. It's interesting that when God can only put value into something that is broken, mm-hmm. whereas we throw it away. And and families have a way of breaking us. Mm-hmm. And opening us up, you know, 2 Corinthians 4, we have this treasure in earthen vessels so that the light of Christ can be seen. Well, how's it seen? The vessel is broken, the pot, and we're made of clay, frail children of dust, and feeble as frail. In thee do we trust, nor find thee to fail. Thy mercy is how tender, how firm to the end. our maker, defender, redeemer, friend. We sing those words. It comes from that passage, 2 Corinthians 4. And in our brokenness, God can do new work. And a little story, I was trying to share that truth with the congregation. We just started a new church. And I wanted them to get the message, not just hear it. And so I had them, as they walked into the church that morning, sign their name on a big piece of pottery that we had bought. Mm-hmm. And it was a beautiful pot. And I had one of the pastors hand it to me, and I accidentally, on purpose, dropped it. And you could hear a scream. And as I dropped and fell into a myriad of pieces on the ground, actually, we ruined the floor. It was memorable. But I told the people just what I shared, that until we're broken, you know, God can't use us to the fullest extent. And I asked them to, at the end of the service, to take one of those charts home with someone else's name on it, because we belong to each other. And I thought later, what we should have done was gathered those pieces, glued them together, mm-hmm. and put a lamp inside so that you would see the light coming through those broken pieces. I think mm-hmm. the Japanese have a kind of art that takes brokenness and puts gold in them and it restores them. So anyway, legacy, you know, it's where we pass on the stories, mm-hmm. what God has done in our lives. And they love stories, and we have stories. We need to think through those stories and share them. And then mm-hmm. guiding truths, instructing them mm-hmm. in scriptures. I mean, the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 4, 5, 6, Philippians 4, 9. And in fact, in that Philippians 4, 9, you know, these he talks about propositional truths. Mm-hmm. Let me just look at that, remind myself. We have time, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Philippians. Okay. Philippians 4, 9. Yeah, he says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And then he says in verse 9, Philippians 4, 9, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. And I was thinking, you know, there's propositional truths where we teach the word, like we're doing right now. Mm-hmm. We're passing on God's words, and we need to know that. But then there's a relational truth where we relate it in a personal way and apply it. But maybe one of the most powerful after propositional truth is incarnational truth, where they see it lived out in my life.
Mm-hmm.
They're not just listening to information and truth, but they're watching to see if it works for me. And I think it was Thomas mm-hmm. Jefferson, when he designed the educational system there in Virginia. Still, and I've been there, and I remember when they were sharing with us that they would put a professor and his family in one of the rooms, and then you put 10 students in the dorms next to him, and then another professor, to see if indeed the things he's teaching works for him. Especially if you're a philosophy, you're teaching philosophy or something. Mm-hmm. You know, how does that live out in your life? And so that is so important to put the left brain and the right brain together.
Right.
Pastor, I'm sorry. Well, I wanted to ask you a question, Pastor John, if I could chime in real quick. First of all, you sound much younger than 78. You sound so good, sir. I was over 78. And I guess, you know, when you're living for the Lord, he just keeps you young and moving. But I'm curious. First of all, I love this ministry. And it just shows to me that as you age, man, the Lord still has purpose for you. Because I've met some elders that have just given up. And those elders irk me. Because I'm like, you're still alive. You got much to do. But my question to you, what would you say to grandparents who don't feel spiritually equipped to do something like, you know, imparting to their grandchildren? What would you say to those grandparents?
Well, first of all, they need to know that anything we do for the first time, we don't do well. Mm. So when you're, especially we're filled with guilt, because we didn't do it, we finally have our eyes open, our heart open, and we want to do it, but we feel like it's too late. And so we've got to discard those thoughts and just say, you know what? You begin where you are. It's not wrong to be where you are. It's wrong to stay where you are. Mm-hmm. And God is in the business of making hearts change. Psalm 92 was the psalm that was really the headstone. That's a bad illustration. The keystone for our ministry in Fullerton with older adults. And it says, the righteous man will be fruitful in old age. To declare that the Lord is good, he is righteous, there's nothing bad in him at all. And it says then he'll be like a cedar in Lebanon.
John, I'm going to have to jump in right here. We're coming up on a break, and we'll pick up right there on the other side. Our phone guest today is John Colombe. He's the Director of Spiritual Development with Legacy Coalition. We'll be right back.
This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles.
That's what we're doing tonight.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battle. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how.
The music of Michael W. Smith with Surrounded. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Father, we thank you again for every grandparent that happens to be listening at this time. And Lord, thank you for every believer that's listening. Lord, set us all on fire afresh with the spirit of prayer and the spirit of discipleship. Help us to recognize, Lord, that there's great joy in doing the work of discipling our grandchildren and any and everyone else. Lord, let us be set on fire afresh of your Holy Spirit so that we'll have a passion to be about the work of loving our grandchildren as well as others enough to give them Jesus, to teach them to walk with Jesus, and to teach them that life is all about Jesus. Help us to be faithfully doing that every day of our lives. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our phone guest is John Colombe. He's the Director of Spiritual Development with the ministry, a ministry to grandparents entitled Legacy Coalition. John, if you'll pick up where you left off there, please.
Right. Well, we were talking about, God illustrates, uses the metaphor of a cedar tree, which is stately, and it's part of the redwood family, so when fire comes through, it doesn't destroy the tree. And then you've got the palm tree. He mentions the righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. That's a key part of it. And they flourish in the courts of our God. They still bear fruit in old age. They are even full of sap and green, to declare that the Lord is upright, he's my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. And I did it, here we live in California. When I first found that verse, we had a palm tree in our front yard, and I started looking at it. I remember our boys were pounding nails into the tree, and I went out and said, boys, you're going to kill the tree. And my neighbor came and said, you can't kill that tree with on the outside because the life is on the inside. And I just think as we get older, these bodies get frail. But the life inside of us is what keeps us going. Mm-hmm. And you think about the characteristics. you can see a palm tree, a fully grown palm tree, put into a new shopping center. It can be transplanted at any time.
Mm-hmm.
When you talk about downsizing and losing spouses and losing jobs and this season of life losing health, well, you know, God will keep the root system on us and keep feeding us. The leaves are serrated, so when the winds blow, it blows through the leaves. It's not like a canopy or a parachute. The tree bends. There's resin in it. It bends with the wind.
Well, and you know, John, I just wanted to mention something in relation to what you're speaking of there. You know, this is true, period, that, like, obviously, grandparents, obviously, by and large, they have great love for their grandchildren. And many times when they're plugged into the idea of really pouring into them their faith and they understand that, that is something the Holy Spirit uses to kind of reinvigorate or renew them in so many ways because of the joy and the fulfillment they find in seeing Jesus grow up in their grandchildren too. So I think that goes right along with what you're sharing about the life of God at work in the life of a grandparent as they minister to their grandchildren as well.
Well, and let me finish this because it applies to what you just said. One of the reasons, I mean, if you ask youth and children about what's it like to be old when you see an old person, they think cranky. They're not flexible. They're judgmental, critical. Mm-hmm. Well, the fruit that's closest to the sun is the sweetest.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I like that. And I think about Jesus, you know, he was full of grace and truth, and children flocked to him.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he was a man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief. He knew when to pull the blinders off of people's eyes or the blinders off their heart.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if a grandparent is showing grace with truth and living it out, our children and our grandchildren will follow. But here's the key. We sin as parents. We don't get, what do we call it in golf? A mulligan as parents. We get it as a grandparent.
Mm-hmm.
We get do-overs. But when we've made mistakes, we've been harsh in our discipline of our kids. We took things that were gray and made them black and white. And we took things that were black and white and made them gray. And our kids are not impressed but depressed with us often. And so I'm really, when we talk about grandparenting, there's a two-way street.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it'll start with our grandchildren because a little child may be the one to lead them back as they hear truths from their children. Mm-hmm. But we're seeing today a lot of children, adult children, are rejecting faith and saying, Mom, Dad, you can be with Billy or Martha, but don't give them any of that junk you poured into us as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it starts with asking for forgiveness, humbling ourselves, acknowledging we made mistakes. I was doing a funeral once, and we were doing what we call living eulogies with our older folks. We'd go in and we'd tape their story, their testimony. And I remember asking Christine, she was 98 or something like that. And I said, Christine, if you could do life over again, what would you do differently? Mm-hmm. She said, you know, I was harsh on my kids. I was a single mom. My husband died. I raised them alone. I was fearful, and I was too harsh.
Mm-hmm.
And I played part of that for them when I was meeting with the families. We were doing their funeral.
Mm-hmm.
And they looked at me, and they started weeping. And it began to soften their hearts when they realized Mom saw. I mean, why couldn't she have shared that with them in life?
Mm-hmm.
And begin to build a bridge back and let them see a changed life. Authenticity is what our kids and grandkids are looking for.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's powerful.
Purposes. You want to go to purpose?
That's fine. Before you do that, John, would you tell listeners, like there are many listening who may think, I want to learn more about Legacy Coalition. I want to plug into it. I want to just somehow or another get connected to it. How can they do that?
Oh. Go online, legacycoalition.org. www.deuteronomy.com. Mm-hmm. That'll take you to a website that will open up every other website for you. But we have resource. One of the purposes is, after we've got the message out there, to resource people so they're not trying to figure it all out on their own. Mm-hmm. And so we've experimented with these ideas. There are things that have come from our homes. You know, how do you do a Camp Grammy and Papa to train those children in truth and build relationship and help them grasp the goodness of our God? We have, well, it's just every Monday night, we have what we call Grand Monday Night, where it's a webinar. And then you can go online when it's not live throughout the week and pull that up. And it's on every topic that you can imagine. We have grandparents meeting together in homes, small groups, mm-hmm. looking at it and then talking and praying. Mm-hmm. We have a blog. We have Wayne Rice and I do a podcast. We've done about 40 podcasts. Mm-hmm. You just go to legacycoalition.com/podcast. You go on Apple or Spotify or any of those, and you can get that podcast where we talk to leaders, mm-hmm. thought leaders, who are really out there writing these things. Some great, like, I learn a lot, let's just put it that way, when we are doing the interviews. Mm-hmm. And then we have seminars, we have conferences. The summit is going to be in February back in Alabama, mm-hmm. close to you. Shades Mountain Baptist Church, I think it's February 21, and we'll be broadcasting that to about 150 churches around the nation, actually around the world. Mm-hmm. We have books that we've written. We have prayer calendars. We have placemats on how to pray for your children, grandchildren. We have music that I've taken some of our Music City Fathers guys that meet back in Nashville. I said, write me some songs. Mm-hmm. And they have. Mm-hmm. And those are available online. But anyway, they can legacycoalition.com, and it will bring up everything from our store to our books and our brochures, our resources. And one of the hot things that I just love are our Let's Talk cards. I would leave. My grandkids now are ages 15 to 23. We have 8. Mm-hmm. But we still have questions. And so when we're riding in the car, mm-hmm. you know, one side is for them to ask a question. Here's like on memories. What subject in high school was easiest and most difficult? Mm-hmm. And on the other side, there's a question. Mm-hmm. Did you play sports in high school? If so, which sport or position? But you know, those are opening. Mm-hmm. What or who is at the top of your prayer list right now? And please tell me how I can pray for you. Mm-hmm.
Can you purchase that anyway, online? Did he say that?
Yeah, you can get those online and just leave them in your car.
I love that.
When the kids are bored or you've got a long ride, say, hey, pick a question, let's talk.
Mm. Well, John, our time is just about completely gone. And so, again, really, really do appreciate you coming and sharing. And there will be opportunity for you to share the website one more time, though. But I was going to mention this, too, that, you know, in Scripture, there are many, many people that would be very much considered elderly who would look like they were just getting started in their elderly years.
Yeah.
And I think of, for example, you mentioned you're 78. That means you're 2 years before when Moses did his best work, you know. So it's important
right.
that we very much don't think of, well, I'm slowing down. No, you know, that doesn't seem to be a biblical perspective, so. But thank you so much, John, for being with us. Share that website one more time, please.
LegacyCoalition.com. LegacyCoalition.com.
All right. Thank you so much, then. As we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening today and you've never made the eternally important decision of asking Jesus Christ to come into your heart to become the Lord and Savior of your life, today is a good day. Today is a great day to accept Christ and invite him to be the Lord and Savior of your life. If you'd like to make that step in your life, would you, from your heart, pray this prayer with me even now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so very much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Become the Lord and Savior of my life. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, today, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to live for you all my life. Help me to read your word daily. Help me to pray daily. Help me to live what I learn daily from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer and committed your life to Christ, we're very much wanting to be in touch with you. My email, once again, is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We'd like to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. We definitely hope to hear from you. Again, that email, joseph@afr.net. We will hope to hear from you once again, joseph@afr.net. John, thanks so much for being with us, and thank you for the work of Legacy Coalition. One more time, share the website information if someone wants to learn more about the work and mission of Legacy Coalition.
Yes, it's legacycoalition.com.
All right. Thanks so much for being with us, and keep up the great work, okay?
Thank you.
And please pray for the ongoing work of Legacy Coalition as they do the great work and mission God has called them to. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.